Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where you just don't know what kind of crazy we're going to talk about because, frankly, none of us ever know what's going to confront us from day to day in this crazy business we call real estate. And today I'm very glad that we have a special guest who is no stranger to microphones and radio, frankly. Steve Weiss, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Lee, for having me.
So tell all of our wonderful listeners where you're located, how long you've been doing real estate, any of those fun little factoids that will tell them about you.
Yeah, sure. So I live in San Luis Obispo, California. And if you Google that, you may see a piece that Oprah Winfrey did about dubbing us the happiest city in America.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really, really cool to have actually, it was Jenny McCarthy that came here when Oprah was producing her show, producing the Oprah show. She sent Jenny here and did a whole piece on our town. So San Luis Obispo is located on the coast. We're called the Central Coast. We're right in between Los Angeles and San Francisco, right dab in the center. So to LA is 3 hours. Depending on traffic. To San Francisco, it's 3 hours, depending on traffic. And so, we're the Central Coast. I've been in residential real estate next month, it'll be 32 years.
You're on the home stretch for that famous Realtor Emeritus Award at 40 years, which is like the pinnacle of realtor world.
Well, honestly, Lee, I hope to be retired before that.
Oh, please. Honestly. Realtors never retire. They might slow down, but...
Well, no, we just go listless, right?
Oh, did you really go there? That's awesome. I'm totally going to use that sometime. Thank you very much. Okay, so before you tell everybody the story that you've got to tell and which angle of crazy it is, just the two ground rules of the podcast, they're very simple rules. The first one is I don't mind salty language, but I don't deal well with F-bombs, GDs, or see you next Tuesday because those are kind of big, ugly ones. And if there's a guilty person involved, don't use their real name. You can make up a name or just call them X if you want to. But we just try not to trample on people unless they really deserve it, in which case they know who they are anyway, so we don't have to call names. But with that being said, I'd love to hear about what happened in the life of Steve Weiss in real estate.
Well, again, after 32 years in this business, you would imagine that I have numerous stories to tell. And it was really, really challenging for me to pick one out. But just to give you a little taste of my life here on the Central Coast, San Luis Obispo is a college town. Great college. People from all over the world love coming to this school, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. It's an engineering school. You get this parchment and you're good wherever you know, almost, and you can work wherever you want, almost, all right? So so people come from all over just to live here, but it's still a college town. And throughout the years, the real estate community has dubbed some of the homes by name. So we have, for instance, the Alamo. The Alamo, this house always seems to have some sort of battle going on there. Why? I don't know, but we call it the Alamo, okay? And then we have Fredericks of Hollywood. Why is that home Fredericks of Hollywood? Well, when that home was on tour, there was whips and other crazy items hanging right in sight of the public. It was really, really crazy. Of course, my favorite one is the PP home. Now, you would think that would be a yellow house, but nope. Not at all. That was a home filled with young ladies that had nothing but paraphernalia and panties all over the place. It was really incredible. But I just wanted to get that out there, just so you guys know that that's just one side of the story. Then the other side of the story is I reached way back to the early 90s when my children were a little bit younger. And Lee, you probably do quite a little. quite a lot of business with your children's schoolmates or their parents. Is that fair to say?
Sure, that's who you spend a lot of time with, so it naturally becomes the people you do real estate with.
You bet. So this was no different. This was, in, like I said, in the early 90s. My son, Eric, had a friend whose parents were moving out of the area. They called me to come preview their home and to list it. And there was just something about it. I don't know what to say. Is they were acting rather strangely, but I thought nothing of it. I just thought he was kind of odd. She was, you know, very nice, but again, just had a little hint of weirdness. But nevertheless, I listed the home, and that home sold rather quickly. Home inspections were rather new at the time. They weren't the standard of practice, but they were, you know, becoming more popular. The buyer had a home inspection and a termite inspection. And the termites here, Lee, on the Central Coast are very prevalent. It's almost a miracle if you don't have to tent a home upon sale. And this home was no different. So they had the home inspection, and of course there were, you know, numerous things that needed to be addressed. But one of them was the exterior, the screen that blocked vermin or whatever from getting in underneath the house was off, and it was recommended that they repair that. Life went on. We tented the home, and after the tenting, oh, maybe 3 days later, we closed escrow. The buyers moved in, and let me back up a second. The person that sold this home was in my office at the time, so it was an in-house transaction, okay? A few days went by. There began to be a little bit of a hint of a smell, and they thought really nothing of it. They thought maybe it was from the fumigation, but when you fume a home, there's no residual smells or any residual effect from that. Everything just dissipates and goes away. And it kept getting worse and worse. And now it began to smell like something had died. And then it turned into it smells like a skunk. So they called the fume company. And the fume company came back. And sure enough, there was something definitely underneath that house. The fume guy went underneath the house and found a dead skunk.
Ooh, that's so nasty.
Yeah. Very nasty. He removed it, but the smell did not go away. It permeated everything. I mean, it was bad. The poor children that lived there, their clothing smelled like skunk.
So this is, the buyers have already moved in. Is that correct?
The buyers have moved in.
Oh.
Yeah. It was. I mean, it was pretty bad. And again, it would not go away. So they called the fume guy again, and he dug a little bit deeper, and there was another skunk. So there were two skunks that were underneath that house.
Oh, was it like a husband and wife where she died and he came and died right where she was? They could be together in eternity over the Rainbow Bridge. Do skunks work like that?
Bring it on, Lee.
See, I'm also sitting here wondering exactly how much tomato juice is it going to take to get rid of that smell, because that's how you get rid of skunk smell. But when you've got multiple dead skunks, I don't know how that multiplier factor works.
We were standing out in the street. This was the selling agent, myself, the listing agent, and the husband and wife. And they were in tears. I mean, both were in tears, and I didn't know what to do. I was beside myself. I felt lower than a snake's belly.
Right.
I mean, it was pretty bad, and it was also pretty crazy. Gave them cash out of my pocket to go and, you know, have a nice dinner and see what we can do to eliminate this issue. Here's the tough part. So that evening, if not a couple, and again, this is many years ago. He woke up in the middle of the night and was, I don't know if I even want to say this, but it was pretty crazy. There were like maggots coming through the carpet.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah. 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 Is that crazy or what?
Oh my gosh, I would not be able to sleep in that house.
After we finally got rid of the issue, which I participated in only because I felt so bad, and I didn't want my name to be associated with that, Lee. You know, it was devastating, not only for the buyers, but mainly for the buyers, you know, but, you know, for my real estate partner and I, you know, we worked together. We were just trying to figure out how do we solve this issue. And we put new carpet in. We did whatever we could to make this right. Not three, maybe 4 months later, the sellers come back into town. And they run into these people, and the seller, Mrs., says to her, this is coming back to me now from the buyers. Mrs. Buyer says to Mrs. Seller, you know, I should really sit down with you one day and talk to you about that house. It's haunted.
What?
It's haunted.
By a dead skunk.
And nothing much more came of it from that. But there you have it. A nice skunk story.
You look at that and it's one of those moments where as a realtor professional, you just stop thinking about what the money is in your own pocket. Because we just hit these moments with a deal like this where, like you said, three or four different times, your only goal was figuring out some way to make it right.
And we had to make it right.
And that's the story that I don't feel consumers hear about realtors enough, because I think that most of the realtors that I've spent time with across the country are in this position, and then they just figure out how, some way, somehow, we can make it better than it is now, knowing that it's the right thing to do. It's not about the money, and it's not about saying, you could have said, sorry, y'all, I'm out of this. My sellers are gone. Y'all bought it. Suck it up. But that's not any way you could sleep at night and build a business.
Well, I'll tell you, I wasn't brought up that way. My mother and father, you know, they taught me to have compassion for others.
Right.
You know, and if you're gonna, and my father owned a chain of hardware stores. I'll never forget. He said, before you work in here, watch me, watch how I treat my customers. And Lee, whether it was a two cent nut or a $200 drill, everyone got the same service. But the bottom line is that I couldn't live with myself. Not only that, but it's a small town, you know? And again, whether I was associated with it or not didn't make a difference. The bottom line was I need to make it right. And the other agent and I really we did whatever we could to make this thing right. And that's why I've survived for 32 years.
And I love how you point out that you're in a small town. But you know, Steve, even the big cities are small towns when you get into these neighborhoods. Something tells me you would have done this even if you were smack inside that 405 in L.A.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, that's just who I am. You know, it's just like I said, that's who I was brought up to be, you know. And so it was the craziest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Just one of them in this business.
I mean, it's enough to think about the skunks underneath, but the maggots coming through is just almost too much for anybody that's listening to this if they're having lunchtime. We apologize in advance if you were, well, no, not in advance. And in retrospect, we apologize if you were eating while you're listening to this episode. But,
oh,
you know,
my goodness.
It does remind you, though, as a realtor, if you're listening to this episode, you absolutely should have some kind of an emergency fund. In my office, we call it the happiness fund, so that we have a little money set aside at all times so that we can fix it if there's a way to fix it. Because as realtors, when your income is on this big roller coaster and you maybe haven't had a couple of closings in a while, you better have a little stash set aside so that you can make things right for consumers when you are their trusted advisor, because we're so much more than just that one deal. They lean on us over time. And the other thing is, if you're a consumer, you should probably do a little research on the realtor that you select and read their reviews and interview their past clients and ask them, what do they do when things go wrong? Because I think that's the mark of a true professional. Instead of hiding when things go wrong, they get right in the middle of it and do everything possible to defend the consumer, whether it was their client or it was a customer on the other side, like this situation?
Lee, I'll tell you, the worst thing a realtor can do is hide. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing.
Or if lender, or home inspector, anybody really. Anybody in our business should not be hiding.
If you receive a call from your now past client who has an issue, the worst thing you can do is not deal with that issue. You have to take it head on, regardless of what it is. You need to face it and help your clients through the challenge that they're having and guide them down that path until they're happy. I mean, it's just the right thing to do.
It's being a good human being, and it's also very smart business because, as we know, word of mouth is what destroys people way more than anything else they can possibly do to themselves. Get one unhappy consumer talking about you, and they tell everybody. So, Stephen, if anybody's listening to this episode and they happen to need a professional in the Central Coast or just really need a person in California, and you probably got a whole network of amazing realtors that could help them out. How could somebody find you?
They could reach me several ways, Lee. You could reach me at SLO, like San Luis Obispo Properties.com, or you can call me at 805-886-1404.
And if you weren't able to write that down because you are being a very responsible driver right now and listening to this episode, or you're out there hoofing it through the neighborhood looking for sale by owners and visiting the neighbors, never fear, because all of Steve's information is in the show notes for this episode. So definitely reach out to him for any of your needs in the Central Coast. I know that's where I would send my people if they were looking for a professional in San Luis Obispo. Steve, thank you for coming on the podcast. I appreciate you sharing maggots with the world.
Lee, I'm telling you, I had several stories. I mean, it could have been the drug runner, or it could have been this. It could have been, I had many to choose from. And until I said that word, that M word, it really didn't hit me that, oh my goodness, am I really going to say that?
You totally did. But you know, on the bright side, Steve, it wasn't said about the realtor.
Right.
So there's that.
Right? Right? Amen.
Oh, Lord. Well, I appreciate you and all that you do in the industry. And
oh, right back at you.
Anybody out there who's listening to this, if you're a realtor, you broker, investor, inspector, lender, or consumer, and you think you can top Steve's maggot story, please reach out to me. I'm at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks. I'd love to feature you on a future episode, and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss even one of these little special moments that come across my plate. And until next time, I will see you on Crazy Shit in Real Estate.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.